sometimes been in groups that say, oh, you know, there's a lot of needs in the church and we're doing so much and maybe we shouldn't let people from parachurch come and represent them because we've got so many needs we're supporting already. In the world, in the West, the answer is we always can do more because we have so much. That's what it is. We can always do more. Okay, today is Pentecost Sunday. You know, and I don't believe, I really believe this morning, I know this morning, this is not a time where God wants you to give you more information. He doesn't want to fill your head with more knowledge of what Pentecost is. He actually wants to, today, make it a day if you haven't yet received, say, today was my Pentecost. Today, the thing that Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, the Spirit of God will come upon you, will receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon me, happened to me. Because that is God's plan for everybody. To be a principled, a pure, but also a powerful Christian. And I tell you what, we're in days now where pestilence, wars, the power of Satan is increasing, increasing, increasing. I really believe if we don't access the power of God, the church isn't going to make it. So what is Pentecost? Pentecost is something. It's called Shavuot in the Old Testament. And in Exodus, you see the people of God celebrated Passover 50 days after, they celebrated Pentecost 50 days after Passover. So they had the Passover, and 50 days after Moses received the law on Mount Sinai, and what happened on Mount Sinai, we've really got to understand so we can, because in the Old Testament we have types of what we received in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, when Pentecost was initiated, the people were first redeemed from slavery. They'd been set free from Egypt. And then after they were set free at Sinai, they became, for the first time, they weren't a group of slaves, they became a people. And what happened? Moses went up the mountain. God called him up the mountain. Then God came down the mountain and he rested upon the mountain as fire. And then he gave, after he came down as fire, he gave the law to Moses that brought judgment. At Pentecost, the church, the New Testament church, goes, it was first we are freed, like they were freed from Egypt. We are freed through the blood of Jesus. We receive salvation and redemption. Then God calls his people up into the upper room. Then God comes down as fire in the upper room upon every head there. And then he gives them a new law of love which brings salvation, not judgment. And I'm fascinated. All through the Bible, things are the same. You know, in the book of Acts, they received the Spirit. Peter spoke and new life, salvation is created. In creation, there's chaos. Spirit hovers, God speaks, and the worlds are created. Because God's ways are unchanging. So Pentecost is a type of what happened on Sinai, Mount Sinai. It's also a reversal of the Tower of Babel. You know the Tower of Babel was when an ungodly group of people came together, but they were in unity. And God said, we can't allow this because their plans are ungodly. So God went down and scattered the people and gave them mixed languages. And Pentecost is the exact reversal. They were in one accord in a godly way. And God came down and empowered the people to gather, not scattered. And he gave them one language, heaven's language, the gift of tongues. So it's fascinating what Pentecost represents because God's ways are always the same. Now, if you've got a Bible, I want you to open to Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 4 just to verse 8. And Father God, as we speak today, as I speak today, Father God, this is something that you want to do more than for us to just comprehend. Father, you want to do so. Lord, we ask today that this is the day that you have made to baptize people in your spirit, and they shall be baptized into your spirit according to your promise. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to the ends of the earth. I just want you to focus on those words, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the earth. Jesus, the disciples said to Jesus here, you just got to see, they said, they were fascinated about his kingdom because that was Jesus' subject. He was always preaching about the kingdom of heaven. And here he says to the disciples, after he is risen from the dead, and he's talking to them 40 days before he ascends, and he's teaching them for 40 days on this one subject, the kingdom of God. And then they said, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Because they think it's a political kingdom. And Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The kingdom of heaven is not the baptism of the Spirit, but it's very, very close to it. And you cannot extend God's kingdom. You cannot actually move and extend God's kingdom without God's power. You can have all the information in the world in your head, but unless you are empowered by God's Spirit, the kingdom of God cannot go forward. And I believe this is the thing God wants to say to the church in this hour. This is the hour where we mustn't just be satisfied with an understanding or a comprehension of what power is, but we actually must know that we have received power. And when Acts chapter 2 says, when what Jesus promised happened, that when the power of God came, they were in one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing of wind that filled the house where they were sitting. There appeared to each of them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. So the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit first comes, it comes down in Pentecost, and it comes down upon hungry hearts, and it comes down as fire, because what fire does, it purifies first. So you got things in your own life, and you can go to every self-help course in the world, but nothing will get rid of that stuff unless you have the fire of God. Truly, it will deal with it from the roots, and it burns up, and it's God's plan. It removes impurities from us. And when the fire came, it purifies. And there's a lot of times in the Bible where the fire of God fell. It fell in Solomon's temple after he finished offering loads of sacrifices, hundreds and hundreds of sacrifices. And the fire of God came and fell the temple. It fell on one of David's offerings. And the fire of God always falls when there's something of value offered on the altar as a sacrifice. And it fell in on Mount Carmel. And why it's important is the people on Mount Carmel were worshipping God, they were worshipping Baal. So they're basically, you know, like a lot of the church today, there's a mixture. We're in the world, we want to serve God, but when the fire of God fell, the people said, the Lord, Lord is God, and they turned away from their compromise and they served God fully. That's why we need the fire in the church today. Only the fire of God. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit You know, it used to be the centrality. It used to be what Pentecostal churches were founded upon. People used to tarry all night because they knew they needed this fire and power. And now we fill it up with self-help teaching and a little God loves me talk. I'm telling you, Pentecostal churches today are really Pentecostal. But we need to be truly Pentecostal, not with a Pentecostal culture, but people again who know we need this fire and power and are not satisfied till something happens. And so they were here. And Jesus said to them, wait until you receive power from God. And the Holy Spirit came and came as fire. And the Holy Spirit came as power. It came to give them power. And I want to make it a point here. When you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Some people will just say, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian, as though they've got everything. Listen, when you're a Spirit-filled Christian, anyone who receives Christ as their Savior, the one who died for their sin, the Holy Spirit comes in you at that very moment and He fills you. He fills your temple. So you're a Christian, you're sealed, you're a Christian in that day. And the Holy Spirit from within you produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He starts to deal with your anger and produce self-control. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you and change you in ways you can't. He changes you from the inside out. But to be just simply filled with the Spirit is different to being empowered with the Spirit. Empowered with the Spirit. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will come upon you in power. The power is to be witness. It is for ministry. It's to minister to people. Not for you. It's for others. And God says, He says, I'm going to send my Spirit upon the church. Just as it came down, not in the mountain, but upon the mountain. It came down upon as fire to purify, and it came down upon to produce power. And boy, oh boy, do we need power. When the early church got power, they existed in a culture very much like ours. It was full of idolatry, political oppression, and persecution. And folks, that's where we're heading. But the power of the gospel, the power of God upon them, enabled the gospel to go forward and make progress even in the midst of idolatry, political persecution, and oppression. The power. And when I preach, you know what power is? People think power is healing. Or power is deliverance. Power is tongues. I tell you what power is. Power is the Spirit of God upon you. It's just, that's all it is. It's when the Spirit of God comes to rest upon you, the power of God is available to you. And Jesus said, wait, because what happened at Sinai is going to happen to the church. And they waited. And then the Spirit came. And the Spirit came with tongues of fire. 120 hungry people in that room. 120 people received the fire. 120 people were empowered. And 120 people went out. And this is what the fire is for. The two great things Jesus said before He ascended was wait to receive power and then go into all the world. The power is for missions. And what has ruined the Pentecostal church is we believe the power is for meetings. So we come into the church, and we want to roll around, we want to do all these things, and it's all about meeting after meeting after meeting. But the power is to go into the world, into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. It's for mission. But I want to tell you what the purpose of God's power is. And this is what God wants for you. A lot of people, when they speak about Pentecost, their focus is on tongues. Now, I'm all for speaking in tongues. I'm all for it in the church. You know, people sit there and they go like, I don't like when someone speaks in tongues. That's a religious spirit. If you've been given the gift of tongues, you'll never fight it because you know how much it edifies you. Nothing edifies me like speaking in tongues and worshiping God. And when you get baptized in the Spirit, you'll want to do that. You won't fight it. People, I don't think that should be done then. I don't think you should be doing it. It's like, man, here, what happened when Pentecost came? Yes, they spoke in tongues, but I'll tell you what the greatest thing that happened Pentecost is that when the Spirit of God came in power, and you know, they were waiting, they didn't even know what they were really waiting for. Jesus said, go up in the upper room. And the promise of my Father's. So they're just waiting in obedience and they're hungry because they knew Jesus wouldn't lie to them. They knew he would send something that he promised. And so they're waiting, not even waiting for. But when the Spirit came, you know, we focus on the rushing wind and the fire. But what I like to focus more on is not the tongues even. Although, as I said, I'm all for them. But what I love about that, and I think God wants us to focus on here, is that when Pentecost came, and when the power of God, when they received power, the first thing that happened was lives were transformed. Peter is a coward. He's running away from Jesus. And suddenly, the same Peter is standing up before the very people who crucified Jesus, and he's preaching in their face fearlessly, not only here, but in Acts chapter 4. What happened? This is what happened. Pentecostal power came and changed a man. It transformed a man. And what happened all through the book of Acts? You see the lame being made whole. This is what God wants to do to you. You know, if you feel lame and wounded, God wants to make you whole so people look at you and say, what happened to you? That's what Pentecost is for. You know, the blind see. You may have a directionless life, just not know where you're going. But when the power of God comes, you go, I know where I'm going. And people say, what has happened to you? That's the purpose of, that's what God wants in his church. He wants you to out there where people look at you and say, you're not educated, you're not clever, but you have an ability, you know where you're going, something's happened in you that confounds critics, that confounds educated people. These were fishermen. These were average person. All of a sudden, they could look into the scriptures better than those who'd been to Bible college. That's what happens when the power comes. They had spiritual gifts the Pharisees couldn't understand. That's what happens when the power of God. And all the power gifts are accessed through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All of them. That's why we need it. If you want to be someone who heals, be used by God in a healing ministry, in a deliverance ministry. You cannot do that apart from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know in Pentecostal churches, people are practicing all the time, and all you see is manifestation, but unless you have the Spirit of God upon you, no demon will move, no sickness will be healed, because it's not you that can heal, it's only the power of God upon you. Even if you're filled, miracles don't happen. That's why the Bible says in Acts 10:38, when Jesus Christ was anointed, he went around healing the sick and destroying all the works of Satan. But what he wants is a changed life. And what is the greatest change? When the Spirit of God came into that room. His tongues of fire. He didn't come in. He came upon them. And when the Spirit of God came upon Peter, he was changed. The fire consumed his fear. One of my favorite, actually my favorite scripture in all the Bible, and you can quote me this, if I ever say there's something else, say, no, Pastor, this is the one. My favorite scripture in all the Bible is this, when Saul goes to Samuel, and he's about to do kingdom business. You know, if you're going to do kingdom business, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he goes to Samuel says to him, he says, Saul, go from here, and the Spirit of the Lord, 1 Samuel 10, verse 6, will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them, there's the gifts, and be turned into another man. That's what the baptism of the Spirit's for, is to turn you into another person. That's the power to change what you cannot change. And you see this all through the scripture. If you go, I haven't got time to do it this morning, but if you go through the book of Judges, you see there is Gideon hiding in a wine press. And then all of a sudden, he's like Peter. He's able to go against an army of 120 with 300 people. How? What happened? You'll see there's a little scripture there in Judges 6, about verse 30, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." There's his baptism of the Spirit. "And he blew the trumpet." How do you know? What was the secret to Samson? How he would become supernaturally strong and break chains and slay 100 soldiers with the axe of a jawbone of a donkey. Every time he did something supernatural, there's a verse before saying, "And the Spirit of God came upon Samson," and he did a miracle. He did something powerful. He did something supernatural. The Spirit of God is upon us to change us and to change us in a way. And this is what God, yes, it's for supernatural acts, but it's to change us in a way where people will see us and say, "What has happened to you? There is a dimension to your life that I can't figure out." I want to tell you what happened to me, and I've told this before, but I'll tell it again this morning. When I was at Bible college, I went to the Baptist Bible College, and they were teaching me everything, but my heart was so divided. I didn't know whether I wanted to be there. I didn't want to know where I wanted to be, somewhere else. I still had all this compromise in my life. I still was struggling with certain sin. And I was like, yeah, you know, what I read here, it's not really my life. And we were told to go out to a mission in our first year. It was like it was just a mission. It was a week. They sent us out from the college to various parts of New South Wales to minister in churches. And I was sent out to parks. And we went out there. Here I am. I'm training for the ministry. And I go out to parks, and I've got exams when I come back. And they're saying, "You're going to go out in the streets and minister to people." I was like, "I don't want to. I want to stay in my room and study." And my friend who was out there with Dean, he was cracking his neck to be out there. And he came back one day and he said, "Oh, there's a guy out there that we're going to meet tonight. He's a commercial drug dealer, but he's got saved." And I, in my religious way, I was like, "I don't want to go to the meeting because I really don't like drugs. Never have liked drug dealers." And I'm like, I don't want to go to the meeting because I don't want to meet that drug dealer. I want to stay and I want to study so I can get like a high distinction. I only got one in 4 years. So I was like, Dean goes, "Well, if you don't go, you may not pass the subject because the lecturer's coming out here tonight. He expects us all to be here." So I go, "Okay, I'll go." And I went to that meeting and I met the drug dealer. And I was so convicted, because I saw a man whose heart was tender to God and he would weep. And I saw a man who was so merciful and so compassionate. I saw a man who so wanted to worship God and was so grateful for what God had done for him. And I went back home and I said to God, I went in my room that night and I prayed to God. I said, "God, I know I need something." And I'd been reading this passage for 2 years. And I said, the college where I went, I don't think even believed in it. But I said, "I'm reading it here as a child, and I believe it's for me." And so I prayed. Prayed for quite a while. And then I went on another mission trip. I still had this compromised heart. But I went into another mission trip into Indonesia. And one of the things they asked me to do, even though I was just coming out of Bible college, they asked me to preach to pastors. And so I went to this meeting and I preached to pastors. And it was a completely dead religious word. And I just felt almost ready to quit. And this man came to my hotel room. He knocked on my door. I'll never forget the words he said. He said, "God sent me here because you have no power." I wasn't offended because I knew it was true. And he came and he prayed for me, laid hands on me, and then I found myself on the floor, speaking in other tongues. And the next day, I finished my mission trip, and someone paid for me to go to this place called Nusa Dua in Bali. It's a beautiful place with expensive hotels and nice beaches. And I had it all laid out there. But after I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, after I had received my Pentecost, I didn't want to leave my room. I just wanted to worship God. I prayed for hours. I just wanted to thank God because I was connected to God in a way I'd never been connected with. And I knew something had happened within me. And when I got back, people would say to me, this is a testimony. People would look at me, they'd say like, what's happened to you? What has happened? And they couldn't figure it out. This is what God wants to do. He wants to baptize you. What the baptism means, it means, you know, we may be filled with the Spirit. When we're baptized in the Spirit, we're filled with the Spirit. And the word baptized means that it was used in the old days in regard to the tie-dyeing industry, where they would take something and they would baptize it, something that was yellow, and they would baptize it in an ink and it would come out red. You know, tie-dyeing was a different color. Dyeing of garments. And the garment came out totally changed. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does. It totally changes somebody. That's what the power is for. It's to change you into another person. And it only is given to people who are hungry to change. Who know there's things in them that are ungodly, that are incomplete. When they read this book, they say, that's not happening for me. I tell you what happened with me. When you not only change, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. I've told this before, but I was an itinerant preacher for the Baptist Union. And I would go from church to church and preach these dead messages that no one ever responded to. And when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would preach the same messages and people would get saved before I was finished. Because when you are baptized in the Spirit, power, what is power? There's a force behind your words. When Peter preached at Pentecost, it says the people were cut to the hearts. When you have the power of God upon your life, when you preach, there's a force behind your words that bring conviction to people. Otherwise, it just bounces off hard hearts. Convicting power. And you say, well, that's great for you as a preacher. You need it in your home because you're going to have a rebellious child that doesn't want to listen to you. But when you speak an anointed word, that word goes into their heart. It brings conviction. That's why we all need the power. Every Christian needs to be empowered. There are 120 people in that room. 120 tongues of fire rested on 120 heads. Tells us every believer needs this. So what? I just want to speak about the effects. What happens? Because some people say, I don't know if I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what, you know if you know. This is what happened in the early church. There were certain effects. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, tells us how the early church lived. They became a church after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. Many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, divided among those who had need. Daily they met in the temple, breaking bread. They enjoyed, it goes on to say, praising God and having favor with all the people. I want to say the effects of Pentecost are these. First of all, it says, fear came upon every soul. If you're baptism in the Holy Spirit, you're not one of these chummy Christianities. You know the people who like, they're just so chummy with God. And there's no awe. God is our friend and he loves us, but he's also a consuming fire, and we need to have the awe of God that he blesses always obedience, but he still judges disobedience, because the awe of God is the beginning of wisdom. So the first thing that happens, as we know God is awesome. You know him not as this chummy little God that I hear people speak of as like Santa Claus. He is an awesome God who can move mountains. There's nothing he cannot do. They became in awe of God. Secondly, it says, signs and wonders. I don't want to focus on signs and wonders because there are whole miracle ministries out there who focus on that all the time. But miracles, both big and small, happen all the time in a believer's life who knows the power of God. They're just kind of it's who God is. Thirdly, it says they sold possessions and gave them to anyone who had need. So that means that when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you know it's not for you, it's for others. So your focus gets off self. Your focus gets off self and your focus becomes on the salvation of others. And if I have to sacrifice what I have and myself so that someone else gets eternal life, I will give it all. I'll do it joyfully. Because that's what the baptism brings. It gets us off self. And it gets us on salvation. It gets us on healing of people. It gets us on bringing deliverance to broken people. The focus becomes not on my fulfillment. That's why this kind of word faith thing that gets into the church about me and my blessing is a doctrine of demons because it's all about self. But the effect of the baptism is get you off self and get you on. I want to be impacted. I want to be used for others, for broken people, for people. And if I have to give, if I have to sacrifice, I do that joyfully. That's what was in the early church. They didn't care about what was theirs. They just focused on souls, healing, deliverance, changing the lives of others. I just want others to receive what they had received. And it wasn't about self anymore. And if you've been under that doctrine, you need to renounce it. Because it's not about me. Christ got nothing for himself. It was all about giving to others. And then he says, they were all of one accord in the temple. Verse 46, in the temple. So when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I don't have to drag you to church. You know, your priority is coming into the house of God. I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of God. Because when you go in, that's where you get your value system. That's where your brothers are. That's where your true family is. More important to you than your biological family, because this family is going to be with you from heaven. And this family speak your language and have your values. And I don't have to drag you here. You want to come into the temple because you love to praise God. There's a fire burning in you that says, I need to get in the presence of God. I want to go and praise my God with my brothers. That's what happens. Church isn't a chore. And that's why it says they ate their food with gladness. That's what the Holy Spirit produces. Joy. Joy. Joy, joy, joy. But you know where joy is experienced? Read that in Luke chapter 10. Joy is experienced when the church is turned outwards and is missional. When they came back from mission, it says they came back rejoicing and Jesus full of joy. There's joy multiplied when we're missional. But when it's all about us internally, there is no joy. And then it says, finally, having favor with all the people. Why did they have favor with all the people? I tell you why they had favor with all the people. Because the people could see such a change with them. There's such a change in these people, such a change in Peter, such a change in those in that room. And they said, if that's God, I want it. That's God's plan. If what's happened in you, I don't know, you're not educated, you're not clever, but you know stuff. You have a peace when everyone's afraid. You have a joy that I've never experienced. You have a calmness. You know things that are not from this world. I don't understand. I can't even comprehend you. I've never seen someone like you, but I want it. That's why they had favor. That's why they had favor. Who gets baptized in the Holy Spirit? I know I'm just going to finish. Luke chapter 24. Jesus said this. He said, behold, verse 49. I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. He blessed them. And he said, go into Jerusalem and tarry. Do you know how many people saw Jesus when he was resurrected? 500. How many were in the upper room? 120. I tell you why. It's because you know when you got a phone and it's going to be updated. You know, everyone's got a phone these days. It's going to give a software update. First of all, you get a notification. Then you get the download. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is the great download of heaven. And Jesus in Acts chapter 1 and here, he gave them the notification. He said, go into Jerusalem and wait. Some people in entire denominations are satisfied with the notification. We agree with the notification. We've got the notification. But there's no power. There's no change. There's no miracles. There's no sending. You know why they're satisfied with a notification? Because here Jesus said two things. Tarry in Jerusalem till my power from on high comes upon you. And then he led them out and he blessed them. Now, I tell you why the 380 were not in the upper room. Because some people, they're satisfied with the blessings. If you're saved, you are blessed. You're blessed. But only 120 were hungry for something more. And so many people today, all we want is the blessings. That's okay. You'll be saved and you'll get to heaven, but God won't use you for ministry. Won't use you to change others. You need the power. You need the power. Holy Spirit in you, for you, you'll have that. But the power to change the lives of others. All you need is hunger. All you need is to say, God, I know there's something missing. I know there's something more. I know I need changing. And God, if you've promised it, I want it. I want it. My prayer, all it was, I don't believe what they're telling me. I just believe the word of God. Just like a child, I believe this is for the, it doesn't say it ever stopped. And I tell you what, the day I received that baptism was the greatest day. And I've never been the same. And I look back at the ministry, and I'm just confounded. You know what I tell you why I'm confounded? Because when the power of God is with you, things happen around you that you just can't comprehend. And I'm not an overly educated person. I'm not an overly gifted person. Anybody knows that. But I look past, and there were times when we were building this church and I did some really dumb things and it should have fallen apart. But now God has built it. We've got church here. We've got church at Kuruma. We've got churches in Pakistan. How is that? Power of God. Power of God. It's the power of God. It's miraculous. Holy Spirit fell in that upper room. And I know today the Holy Spirit's going to fall upon some of you. I know there are people here who you have been in that place and you say, I know there is something more. And if you're here today, you're not here by coincidence. You are here for the something more. You are here for his download. The fire is going to come down upon your mountain. It's going to purify what you can't deal with. It's going to empower your life to change what you cannot change. It's going to come upon you. And you may say, I've had that experience. Do you know what? David was anointed to fight Goliath. He was anointed at Hebron, and he was anointed again when he became king. Three anointings. He needed fresher baptisms. I believe there are many baptisms we can undergo, but you must receive the first one. So if you need that, I want the worship team to come up here now. God wants to do business with people today. God wants to do business. He wants to fall upon your life, Spirit of God. Focus is not on the tongues. Focus is on a changed life. The Spirit of God will come upon you and turn you into another man or woman. The most wonderful words in all the scriptures. The most wonderful words. The Spirit of God. The fullness of it. If you know the Holy Spirit speaking with you today, you just come. It's not me you're coming for. It's not anyone. It's not church. You're coming to God saying, I'm hungry for this. I'm hungry for more of you. I haven't got my own theological precepts. I'm just here to receive all that Jesus promised. He didn't do anything until the Spirit of God came upon him at his baptism. And John the Baptist said, he is the one who will baptize you, not with water, but with fire. And if you want the fire of God on your life today, you come. He's going to baptize you. He's going to put the Spirit of God upon your life. No man, no woman, you just come and say, Jesus, I want your baptism today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what happens to me, but nobody ever gets hurt.